Thank you, John. And I've asked Annette to come and read the scripture lesson from the Gospel of Matthew. So let's listen to that first.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit in his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for me of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
Say, "John, could I have that stool, please?" Thank you, Annette. Thanks. That's great. Thank you. Well, it's really a privilege to be with you here today. And later I'll be referring to the one of the inserts that we put in your bulletin is the one that is a pamphlet, a brochure about the rescue mission. But it really is a joy for me to be here together with Annette and on a Sunday when you are really lifting up missions. And missions is really of significant importance to me. Chisai toki kara Nihon ni sunde imashita. Basically, that is telling you that from the time I was just a small child, I grew up in Japan. And I went to Japan when I was a year and a half old with my parents in 1949. And they served as missionaries over there until they retired. And so I grew up in Japan and was there until I finished high school. In kindergarten, I went to kindergarten with all the Japanese kids, and all my nursery rhymes and fairy tales were all Japanese ones. My playmates outside were Japanese, so outside the house was Japanese and inside the house was English. But sharing with people the love of Jesus Christ and the salvation that is ours through him was really just a part of my growing up and sharing with the people there. And so I feel like in some ways I'm part Japanese and part American, and when I was in Japan, I was defending America, and when I was in America, I was defending Japan. And that was just part of my upbringing. And so missions and missionaries far away is part of who I am. And then I spent 38 years in the pastorate, 28 years just up in Hillmar, serving. And so as I think about, you know, in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth, I think about, you know, the opportunity growing up in the ends of the earth, so to speak, and then ministering during my career here at home, and having the opportunity at least on five occasions to travel to Jerusalem and take people there and see what's going on. And God has blessed me, but it has been a blessing to be able to see how people all around the world and here at home need Jesus. And I think God, in his humor, after I retired, put me in a retirement job now for 10 years, which is back to the mission field, but here at home. So kind of in our Judea, if you will. And so God is blessed. And so I've been serving at the Merced County Rescue Mission for 10 years now. And yes, We hired Josh to be the director of the shelter. One of the exciting things that is happening is that the Navigation Center, which is a little bit like the D Street Shelter, but the D Street Shelter has kind of migrated into becoming a little more of a navigation center, where instead of just people going overnight and then being out on the street during the day, it can be a place where people can stay during the day. And the Navigation Center's focus will be on getting people into housing and some of the next steps that will help them get off the street permanently and not just for overnight or for a meal. And Josh is going to be managing the shelter there. I go over there to take a look, and he's there training all of the workers that are working for him, and it's really exciting. The passage that Annette read for us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, is one where we see, it's a scene of the Last Judgment. And we see Jesus returning, seated on a throne and surrounded by angels. And the nations of the world are assembled there before him. And Jesus is separating people, the sheep and the goats, people on the right and the left. And people who have done the things that Jesus wants us to, and those that haven't. And so what really is the criteria for this division? And as we look at it, it talks about, you know, feeding people who are hungry, giving water to those who are thirsty, providing hospitality to those who are strangers, providing clothing to those who are naked, providing care for those who are sick, visiting those who are in prison. As we think about those criteria, we can look at it just on the surface and say, well, we need to give people food, we need to give people water on hot days, we need to make sure that people have a place to sleep and that they have adequate clothing. But if, as we dig just a little bit deeper into looking at this, yes, we need to be giving people food who are hungry. And so the boxes of food, and that's wonderful. But when you do that, you're also doing that and you're serving in the name of Jesus. And so people need physical food when they are hungry. Now, you know, I think about, you know, missions, and I think about helping people. And if you come to a person, and Jesus talks about this too, if you come to somebody and who's really hungry and needs food and they're just starving, and you say, what you need is Jesus, well, that's really, you know, they need to have their stomach filled first before they can really hear you. You know, I can remember during my seminary days in Chicago, I was driving, one of my summer jobs was driving a city bus. And I can remember driving the city bus, and there was an older woman on the bus who was obviously inebriated, a little drunk. And there was another woman on the bus who was very caught up in her faith and evangelistic, and she was telling this older woman, what you need is Jesus. What you need, she was just really sharing her faith. But the lady did need Jesus. There's no question about that. But she needed some loving care, and she needed someone who could help her in some other ways with her addictions and with some of the other problems that perhaps were being covered up with the alcohol. And so as we look at these things that Jesus is speaking of when someone is thirsty, think of the woman at the well. She was there to draw water because she needed water. She was thirsty. But Jesus spoke of living water and something deeper, something more, something spiritual that we all need so deeply. And as we go on, you know, taking in strangers. You know, when we use the word hospitality, oftentimes we think of, you know, having our friends over for dinner. But hospitality that Jesus is speaking of is, you know, taking in the stranger or making sure the stranger, somebody you don't even know, somebody that you can help in some way. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have them to your house for dinner. But it's ways of reaching out and helping those who really need help. Clothing those who are naked. I just was on the phone with my son last night, and he was talking about, he has just a real heart for reaching out. And I was talking with you, my son was raised in the church, you know, was on fire for Jesus. And then there were years that he went away, and there were a number of years, probably 5-6 years, that we couldn't even see him. and he'd gotten married to someone who didn't want him to even see us, and he'd gone away from the Lord, and he was proclaiming that he was an atheist. And we just prayed for him and prayed for him. Our daughters, we would get together and just pray for him. And it was years. It was probably 15 years of just really kind of separation. And it was very difficult. One day, Jeff called us. And he talked about visions. And God was just giving him visions. We prayed, you know, humanly speaking, we're thinking someone is going to come and speak to him and really relate to him. But somehow God, he'd majored in philosophy, very intellectual, and you know all this intellectual stuff. And what did God do? God got a hold of him with visions and dreams, and the spiritual stuff, and got into his life and changed him. And he started, you know, Jeff started seeing visions and started, God was talking to him, and he just became a firm believer. Now all he talks about is Jesus. And he spent, yesterday he was out, spent 4 hours out on the street witnessing to people for Jesus. And a woman came along and who was just really, he said she was just half naked. I mean, she just didn't have adequate clothes, and she was just on the street. And he took and got her some clothing and something to help her with clothes. And so, you know, there are plenty of people around that need clothes. And they need Jesus, and then as we think about the people who are sick and helping provide care, and people visiting people in prison, God really gives us an opportunity to minister and care for people, the sick, the hungry, the naked, the people in prison. You know, as I was preparing and thinking about people who are the least, the lost and the last and the lost, and the people that we serve at the Rescue Mission, a story came to me from the Bible that I'd shared with our group at the mission here just a few weeks ago. But it's a story of Zacchaeus out of Luke chapter 19. And you think of that. Now he goes against some of the norms of people that we think of as the last and the lost, because Zacchaeus was a rich man. He was wealthy. But he was short, and Jesus was coming to town, so he climbs up in this sycamore tree so he could see, because he couldn't see over the crowds. And Jesus picks him out of the crowd and sees him up in the tree and says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Zacchaeus comes down, they go there, and the people are kind of upset. Why would Jesus relate to this sinner, to this person who was despised, kind of a person who they saw as a traitor, because he was selling out his people by stealing money, basically charging them more than what their taxes were. And because he was, you know, really doing it on behalf of Rome and then filling his own pockets. Well, so we look at people like that, people who are hated and despised. And in our society, as we think about this, you know, people have feelings about people who are wealthy and abuse others. And so we think of them as perhaps being lost, and we kind of look down on them. But oftentimes in society, we look down on the people that we see on the street, people who really have nothing. And people come to being on the street to experiencing homelessness for many different reasons. You know, sometimes people think it's just because they want to be on drugs and alcohol. Sometimes people get on drugs and alcohol after they're on the street because they're covering up and trying to deal with all of their hopelessness and their problems, and they don't know what to do. Some people get there because of their drugs and alcohol. Some people get there because of broken relationships, because they've lost a job, because they've lost their home. There's so many different reasons, and mental health issues is a significant problem among people on the street. And so as we minister and care for people who find themselves in those kind of situations, we really find that we need to work together. And I think that here as a congregation, you really are reaching out in so many different ways as you reach out through the D Street Shelter, as you work with Love, Inc., and as you work with the Rescue Mission, and as you're working with youth group communities and all the different missions, as well as the faraway places overseas. You know, To really address the problems in our society and some of the people who seem hopeless and have nothing, we really need to work together. On the brochure that I've given you today, it says Merced County Rescue Mission is a village of hope. But that village of hope extends beyond just the Merced County Rescue Mission. It includes organizations like Love Inc. And Love Inc. And the Rescue Mission collaborate many times. Some of the people right now in COVID, it's been a little more difficult. But you know, men and women from the Rescue Mission will help. You know, men will help move furniture or help do. And we work together. And so, churches are working together. And it's, in many ways, Love Inc., the Rescue Mission, and the other organizations that you support are arms and legs and feet of the church. So that, because the church can't do every one of these ministries on its own, and so we specialize in certain areas to really help, to help the people who are hungry, to help the people who are thirsty, to help the people who are sick or don't have clothes, or, you know, so we are working to specialize in some of these areas, but then all of us as specialists in different areas then work together to become this village of hope, you know, sharing the love of Jesus through the different things that we are doing. And in this brochure that really is lifting up the kind of things that the Rescue Mission is doing, but again, not to make the other things not important, because again, we're together. But if you look at this brochure and open that up, you have it right in your bulletins today. And in this brochure, you will see that there are right now 7 different pathways, we say, 7 different pathways to healing, housing, jobs, and life change. And of course, the life change is through Jesus Christ. But the healing that people need to experience in their lives, and people need housing and jobs. And if you look at this brochure, this will give you a brief thing to just remember a little bit about what I'm talking about. In the upper left-hand corner, you'll see some yellow houses. Well, those yellow houses, that perhaps speaks to the part about caring for the sick. People who are homeless end up oftentimes in the hospital. And when they go to the hospital, and when they're ready to go home, when you go to the hospital and when you go home to your family that helps to take care of you and get you to doctor appointments. Well, people who are on the street have broken relationships. They don't have a place to go. And so we began 7 years ago a program we call Hope Respite Care. And we have 2 houses in Merced and 1 in Las Banas right now. We work with local hospitals. And when they have someone who's homeless that is to be discharged, they discharge them to us. And we immediately care for them. We get them to doctor appointments. They get 3 meals a day, their place to live until they get better. And we immediately start working to find out how we can get them into permanent housing so they don't go back to the street. We've been successful in housing 50 to 60% of the people that come to us through respite care so that they don't go back to the street. I wish I could say 100%, but, you know, 50 or 60 is better than nothing or where they were before. So that's one of the programs. As we move over to the orangish houses over on the top right, you'll see where it says Hope for Men and Women. That is our faith-based program at the mission. That's perhaps our core. And the core of what we do is we take men and women, many who are coming out of incarceration, some off the street, some recommended by churches or by family or friends, and they come to us, and they will be with us 3 months, 6 months, up to a year. And it's a free program that is supported just by through donations. And every morning, people are in classes. They have devotions in the morning, and then there are 2 1.5-hour classes, 5 days a week, where they are going to classes to learn about things like anger management. They're learning biblical courses. We use a Youth for Christ curriculum and for Bible studies. And so there are studies. We help them learn about job training. There's a lot of different things they get in their morning courses. Then in the afternoon, when we don't have COVID, this has really kind of put some constraints on us, but they have to do 2 hours of community service every day, and then in the evenings they're going to places like Yosemite Church for Celebrate Recovery on Friday evenings. But every evening they have a Bible study or someone's coming in to speak and sharing, and then on Sundays they go to church. And so the people are very involved in this program, in our Hope for Men and Women program. And when they graduate from that program, some of them have been reunited with families or might be able to get a job, might be able to find housing, but there are many of them that don't immediately have a place to go, and so we have our next phase, which are the blue houses, which say transition to hope. And so this is a program where for a month, 3 months, a year, people, we help people find jobs, and now we have them start paying a program fee. And the reason for that is we want people getting used to paying rent, because when they get out on their own, they're going to have to pay rent. They can't just be taken care of. They have to become self-sufficient. And so we help people find jobs. They're getting jobs, and then they pay a program fee, and they get meals. They're in a sober living environment. They continue to get case management, service coordination, and counseling, so that we're weaning them to be off completely on their own until they're able to make it. And then hopefully they will be on their own and rent their own place. Now, as you see on the bottom, the new navigation center, the gray building, that is a building being built by the county, and they have hired or contracted with the Rescue Mission to operate that facility. And so we've hired 19 people, and one of those people is Josh, who's the director of the shelter program. And people will be coming in there. They'll be referred into there from the street, and we'll be working to find them housing, jobs, all kinds of things are going to be going on. They'll be getting 3 meals a day. There's a kitchen manager, shelter manager. There are counselors. There are all kinds of support people to really help people 24 hours a day to really get their lives back together. And some of those people might end up going to our Hope for Men or Women program, or maybe to our sober living programs. And so it depends. Some of them might need to go to respite care. And so there are a lot of different things that people might go to from the Navigation Center. And over on the bottom right, you see Bridge to Hope. The Bridge to Hope programs, they are kind of like mini navigation centers. And so they are in houses. The Rescue Mission 4 years ago had 2 locations with a total of about 30 beds. And then we lost our building on Canal. It was condemned, and people thought the Rescue Mission just kind of disappeared and went away. Well, so the Rescue Mission was homeless, kind of like the people we serve. And so we were homeless, but we started renting houses, and right now we have 25 locations. We have one in Livingston. We have 3 in Las Banas. We have a whole bunch in Merced. We had one in Las Banas, in Atwater, but neighbors really didn't want us in their neighborhood, and so we didn't want to get into issues, so we left that neighborhood, and we're looking for another location in Atwater. But we are there with our mini navigation centers where we house anywhere from 8 to 10 people in a house. We have a live-in, a house manager in every house, and people are under supervision with case managers helping them with doctors, with getting jobs, with all the different kind of things going on. And so we have those spread out throughout our county. Where people, and they're pet friendly, but so people who might not want to be in a congregate setting like a navigation center where it's dormitory style, they can be in homes where they can maybe share a bedroom with a spouse or one other person, but they're not in with a whole bunch of people. And so it's a much better setting for many people. So we have both the opportunity for those bridging houses, which are mini navigation centers, and the navigation center. And then we also have 3 houses right now for families with young children. That's the green ones in the bottom left. And so right now we have 3 houses. But we are also building a new campus. And there's brochures in the back. But we're building a campus on Cone Avenue, which is just a block south of the Merced County Fairgrounds. And so right now our construction project, it's a 5-acre campus, but the first 3 acres will have a large respite care facility for people coming out of the hospital. It will have 32 beds. It will also have a place so that when the police need a place for someone who needs to just sleep it off for the night, they're on alcohol or drugs and they really don't need to be put in jail, they will bring them, and we have sobering rooms for both men and women, and there will be a clinic operated by Golden Valley Health Centers to care for people at that facility. And then also a commercial dining room, a commercial kitchen, where we will have people in our programs train in culinary arts, and they will be preparing food. We'll have a kitchen manager, and then a 100-seat dining room. And right across the driveway is a building with 10 apartments for our veterans, Hope for Veterans. And homeless veterans will be able to be in one of those apartments and come over for food if they don't cook themselves. And then we'll have another 10-unit apartment building for families with young children. to help get them stabilized and off the street. And so those are some of the variety of ways. The Rescue Mission also does the senior meal program in our county. And we have a senior meal program both in Atwater and Winton and five other locations spread out throughout the county. But we are there to collaborate with other organizations like Love Inc. and like Sierra Saving Grace and with churches in our whole county. And with hospitals, and with the county, and with the city. Because only together can we really be a village of hope, serving people in the name of Jesus, to really meet their needs, their physical needs. But the hope is that as we love people, and as we help them with what their immediate physical needs are, that we can share Jesus Christ and have them come to know and experience the life change that only Jesus can give us. And so that is really our goal as we work with people and help people and work together with other organizations and with churches. We want to share the love of Jesus. And I think that is really what we are called to. And as we read the passage that Annette read for us from Matthew, really, really Jesus is calling us to serve and love and care for people and to care for our brothers and sisters in need, in His name. And when we do that, in His name, we are serving Him. So thank you so much for allowing me to come and share with you. It's really a blessing. And I find it really a blessing that God has given me the opportunity in retirement to really serve people and love them. It just blesses me every day. And I just grow and am blessed by the testimonies and the witness from the people that I have the privilege of working with. Right now, the Rescue Mission has, we have just about 70 employees. And we've grown from, 10 years ago, we had about 5 employees. We have about 70 employees right now, and 90% of our employees have come through our programs, most of them from incarceration and from the street. And God has changed lives. And isn't it wonderful to be a part of that? So thank you for letting me share with you. God bless you so much. And thank you for what you are doing as a congregation to bless others. God bless you all. Thanks.
Bless you. Thank you, Bruce.